You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io. You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io.
We are back with the Peter Ryan Report on CoinSpice, episode number 5. And this time around, we're going to be discussing forks. And right away, hard forks, soft forks, it just comes off as dramatic, you know, kind of a divorce, scary stuff. And you know, we want to demystify a little bit of that today with Peter, but also maybe steel man at first. And, you know, these are scary things, these forks, these changes, right?
Yeah, these forks, they can be scary. They can be a moment of exhilaration and fear. However, they also are an opportunity for people that have foundational and healthy disagreements with decisions being made to voice an exit, to make their opinions heard in a more tangible way than just being a vocal critic.
And the danger with a hard fork as far as someone who's maybe against them is that it tends to kind of water down Bitcoin, the idea of crypto. And we get all these weird projects and exit scams, and it lowers the value. It could be even considered mildly inflationary if you take it a certain way. Are these legitimate concerns?
Yeah, this is the double-edged sword of forking, that someone can leverage a brand and go out and create some pump and dump opportunity that, whether it is conscious or unconscious in terms of they're outright trying to deceive people, or just the developer community behind the fork really wasn't serious, really doesn't have a long-term commitment, and will ultimately bail on the project, leaving later investors holding bags. And ultimately, when those events happen, it really tarnishes the entire industry brand and can be seen as pretty negative, as well as, just as you mentioned, there's these inflationary effects where, you know, aren't you effectively doubling the money supply? And, you know, that's one way to look at it in terms of a pure technical analysis. But there's really much more going on than just simply units being multiplied. There's really value that's being siphoned off, or split off is a better term, from communities. You're having developers move, you're having business move, you're having a user community move. And so what's ultimately happening is that you're having value split, and even though the native units are getting doubled, the market will decide in terms of the price, what are those units actually valued at? And you can actually see that when forks go on, prices differ. And so ultimately, you could suggest that if forks did not occur, there possibly could be a higher price level on what could be seen as the majority chain by looking at those forks and saying, well, that value would have stayed right in that chain.
Right. And to be honest with you, someone in 2019 coming into the space brand new, going on a CoinMarketCap or, you know, whatever, these aggregators, you know, with the thousands of different coins out there, I couldn't imagine making heads or tails of, you know, what's legit and what's not. So, I can definitely see that. But for our, I guess, tribe, for lack of a better phrase, our side of the cryptocurrency spectrum, we believe we have kind of a slogan almost that goes, forks are freedom. And not only that, but hard forks within the number four cryptocurrency in the world, Bitcoin Cash, BCH, hard forks now have become a part of actual software upgrades. So we're really trying to change the perception of them.
Exactly. And just to be totally non-biased and non-controversial here. Let's just read, you know, the top definition Wikipedia has for software development forks. And it says, in software engineering, a project fork happens when developers take a copy of source code from one software package and start independent development on it, creating a distinct and separate piece of software. The term often implies not merely a development branch, but also a split in the developer community, a form of schism. Free and open source software is that which, by definition, may be forked from the original development team without prior permission, without violating copyright law. And that is the main definition that is typed out there. And I just want to scroll a little bit down further in the page just to also highlight a key, sub-definition of what's going on here. And that is, in free software, forks often result from a schism over different goals or personality clashes. In a fork, both parties assume nearly identical code bases, but typically only the larger group, or whoever controls the website, will retain the full original name and the associated user community. Thus, there is a reputation penalty associated with forking. The relationship between the different teams can be cordial or very bitter.
Yeah, that's a really nice summary. So Bitcoin seems to, I think, a lot of people to come ex nihilo, right? It rises out of nothingness, sort of the idea in 2008, 2009. But that's utter balls, right? That's completely false. That it itself is something of a melange, a salad of forks, of bringing together these different ideas and putting forward something new in the way that the fork is. Now, I'm using the term fork there very, very loosely for all the technical people out there going, no. But then Bitcoin sort of establishes itself through its first 5-6 years through a bunch of different ways. And more people get involved. And then there is, I would say within at least the first two or three, there's something of a tension where, what is this thing going to become? What do we want from it? And this is really where forks sort of take on their significance in our world, right?
Yes. And, you know, what are these forks to become? And certainly with the Bitcoin Cash fork, the idea of forking took on sort of a new light. It definitely sort of exploded in the the magnitude of what that term meant, and also the acrimony that surrounded it, and which followed other forks. And even though there were forks to Bitcoin prior to that, and ultimately, again, when we're looking at just taking the Bitcoin Cash versus Bitcoin Core fork at hand, because that is really perhaps the most distinctive. When we look at that, again, we following that definition, anyone is allowed to fork an open source software project, and it is not against the rules by any means. And if we look at the second definition mentioned, where it talks about different goals, different personality clashes, and it doesn't use the term original. It talks about majority and minority. And I think that is really the appropriate way to look at forks, because ultimately that is who is forking. It is a minority that disagrees with a set of goals that a majority is going towards. And so when we think about forks, sometimes we can get lost in technical. Sometimes we can, spin yarn hours and hours talking about exactly what is this versus that. But again, taking a more holistic approach and looking at it, yeah, a fork would not be a fork if it was the majority claimant, if it was if it had the ability to retain enough of the network effects to not be called a fork, or not feel the imposition upon itself. And by itself, I mean the developer community and other players, a part of that feel they need to brand themselves as a fork. They need to distinguish themselves in that way, or they could just go around calling themselves a name that was unchanged, and that would be fine. And so again, when we look at Forks, we have to look at it from the point of view of these are the opportunities for vocal minorities to have a chance to voice an exit and provide alternative solutions so that we don't end up having central points of failure with groupthink going on in terms of what goes on and where the industry should go, as well as some over-influential, small elitist groups that kind of dictate terms that go forward and then ultimately pervade the industry zeitgeist and sort of take over in a pernicious way.
And I think the market was dying for some kind of alternative. So even though Bitcoin dominance at any one point can be 50-60%, hovering right around there, 40% is not nothing, right? So it's there's obviously, a market for people wanting alternatives. They have different views of whether it's a medium of exchange versus store of value, unit of account, meta nets and, world computers and smart contracts and all the variations on the theme that the world Satoshi Nakamoto gave birth to. Forks are a way of really human freedom and choice, right?
Yes, and it is totally within the bounds of what Satoshi Nakamoto envisioned and what is the wider ethos pervading open source software that allows people to fork, to have ideas that are different and try their own project and not be penalized in any way in terms of legal ramifications or just constraints in terms of like being able to use certain software packages, anything like that. The only penalty there really is the human cost, is the idea that you are deviating. You are someone that is not going along with the tribe. And so you must be unclean in some way. You're unhygienic. So that is really the cost associated with forking, although there can be more friendly forks that go on, even if they don't want to call themselves forks. So let's just look at Litecoin.
Right.
Clear as day, fork of Bitcoin. However, they took a different route in terms of they didn't brand themselves as Bitcoin. They said we're different. They didn't try to compete with the brand. And what they offered was just a faster and easier way to do payments that Bitcoin couldn't exactly do. And what we saw there was a lot of people may have had a problem with it, but a lot of people didn't. A lot of people that are screaming and slamming their fists on desk about Bitcoin Cash and other Bitcoin forks, they don't seem to have that same anger when it comes to Litecoin or it comes to other things. Yeah, so that's where we really get into also this idea of, what makes a friendly and an unfriendly fork, and what does it mean to sort of embrace the identity of the fork or of the original, and how that plays within an intra-industry context. And because we have coins like Bitcoin Core, Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin Satoshi's Vision, all suggesting they have some claim on the original vision of Satoshi, on some sort of direct line going all the way back. And to a large degree, and this goes for others outside of that group of three, they are all correct, in terms of having very identical software code bases, sharing it the Genesis block that first started the Bitcoin blockchain, sharing all the ledger history pre-fork, and embodying the untangible nature and principles that go into what they think Bitcoin should be. And certainly from the point of view of the human factor, you know, many individuals that have been around pre all these forks that were in an unsplit Bitcoin all the way back in the day, to the degree that they go off and they join a fork community, you know, they are providing credit to the idea that they have a claim to saying, you know, we are quote unquote the original. And so everyone is able to, you know, put their cards on the table and try to push that claim. But it is, you know, if we're really being honest, it's certainly clear that everyone, as long as they share those characteristics in terms of the intangibles, the Genesis block, the ledger history, and the code base, you know, they all are sort of the original Bitcoin at the same time. And so Bitcoin, in a way, is the sum of all forks. It's really transcended beyond just being one thing. It's really more of, you know, how I like to always talk about this. It's more like pizza. No one owns pizza. There can be thousands of pizzerias all around the world, millions, but no one actually has a copyright or exclusive privilege on, you know, what we define as pizza. And we can look at cheese, tomato, and bread as being the signature pizza that we identify and we're cool with calling pizza. And there's other people out there that will throw ham and pineapple on it. They're going to throw avocado, buffalo chicken on it. And, you know, that's really kind of getting outside the bounds.
Satan,
and
then baby killers, Hitler,
exactly. Exactly. Throw them all in jail. But then, like, you walk down the street and you go into like a little sushi shop and it's like they have sushi pizza. And so it's like, wait a minute, how are you allowed to use the term pizza? Like, there, you don't even have, you know, dough. You don't, there's no tomatoes here. There's no cheese. This is totally getting outside the bounds. And then you go and you're fine. I got to get out of the sushi place. I'm going back to the pizzeria, and suddenly, you know, you're getting a grandma slice and it's square. And it's like, wait a minute, I always thought pizzas were round. And so, again, this is a silly analogy, but it goes to the point that just like pizza transcended away from being, you know, the exclusive domain of maybe one chef in Italy all the way back in the day, to being this phenomenon and this abstract idea in you know, Plato's cave, this is what happened with Bitcoin. Because of how the open source software ethics operate and because of how the community dynamics occurred, we really created this catch-all term that is Bitcoin that can't be pinned down to any one chain without really kind of doing something that is a little, you know, kind of cute, a little tongue-in-cheek, a little bit not telling the entire truth there. So that's where it might be important to actually consider as we move forward and how we identify, you know, Bitcoins. It's sort of necessary to add these second names to them: Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin Core, Bitcoin SV, Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin Diamond, Bitcoin Private. You know, we can go down and down the list, but ultimately
Bitcoin Sushi.
Exactly. I'm launching that soon. But yeah, we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. We can't put the pizza back in the box, and we can't put the fork back in the Bitcoin.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on and another great Peter Ryan report. Where can people find your work?
Yeah, people can follow me at Twitter at @_PeterRyan. That's where you can find some great stuff. I tweet quite a bit, charts, data, reporting of the industry, some really cool memes, stuff like that. Also, recently launched, you can follow me at ryanresearch.co. It's my new research firm, and we'll be reporting on mainly cryptocurrency as well as other cutting edge technologies. You can find articles, videos, podcasts that I've been on, and you can soon find in-depth and data-driven reports on there that cover the gamut when it comes to what's going on in this industry. And always please subscribe to my newsletter when you get there.
You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io. You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io.
You're listening to the Peter Ryan Report on Coinspice.io.